The reviews are in, and we're going to pass them along to you. I'm Rob Steele, that's Todd Vandenberg, and hey, look, Lee Val has joined us this week. He says, like, Lee's not a regular, and, you know, doesn't have a life. No, Lee has a life. He gets out. He does things. He even watches movies. Like, what is it you're reviewing this week, Lee?
Ocean's 8, a new movie that just came out this week.
Ah, okay. Look how much time you've got. You get to watch all the new stuff.
I'm in Thailand, by the way, and we just got the streaming rights to Daredevil 3.
Ah, you'll cover that next week, though. In jokes from Sunday's show. Go back and listen. Anyway, what you got, Lee?
Well, I've got Ocean's 8, and it's been talked about on this show before, so I'll just sum up and say it's okay.
Todd!
No, it's so I actually am a big fan of the Ocean's, actually the original Ocean's 11 I liked as well, if you haven't seen that, Frank Sinatra and yada yada. But, you know, the one they started to remake, what was it, 2003, 2004, whenever it came out, with you know, a whole bunch of entertaining people who literally, like Matt Damon and George Clooney and Brad Pitt and yada yada yada, who could probably sit in a room and just have a conversation and I would be entertained by whatever they're talking about, whether it's a movie or not. But I liked the Ocean's 11, especially Steven Soderbergh directed it. And so, you know, Ocean's 8 is you know, it's all female cast, obviously. And they do a shout out. Danny Ocean is the brother of Debbie Ocean, and Debbie Ocean is played by Sandra Bullock. And this, as opposed to the Ocean's 11 films and 12 and 13, I really felt like this was just much more of a, yeah, it's Ocean's 8, but really it's a Sandra Bullock film. And I think that, and I like Sandra Bullock, okay, but I think that detracted from the movie for me, because it wasn't really about 8. It was really about 1, and she's the leader of this group. Because as compared to the Ocean's 11 film, where you have George Clooney, and yeah, he's the ringleader, he's the ringleader, but it also incorporates all the other actors, and some more so than others, like Damon and Brad Pitt. But anyway, Ocean's 8, basically, Debbie Ocean is just released from jail. She wants to get a big score, so she sets it all up. And I mean, the other actresses are a fantastic cast, really, and all the actresses that are in it are good. They just don't have enough to play with, as far as I'm concerned. But Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Mindy Kaling, who, she's the only one, she's fine in the film. She just really has absolutely nothing to work with in the film. Sarah Paulson, Rihanna is actually pretty good. Helena Bonham Carter, maybe, besides Sandra Bullock, the thing that stood out the most to me in the film, because she can play... like in Harry Potter, for instance, she can play a role where it's dark and she's very serious. And this, she's actually the complete opposite of that. She's actually a little bit daffy, but I like that. I liked her role. The film is worth seeing. It's not a bad film. It just didn't have the cleverness to me of Ocean's 11, and it didn't bring me in enough. I thought Gary Ross is the director, and I just don't think he did enough with the script. That, you know, he actually wrote, and the actresses that are in the film to really get me to buy in and be like, what's the next scene going to be? What's the next scene going to be like? Which Ocean's 11 does. So go see it. Definitely worth seeing. I watched it on Amazon Prime, I think, so you can stream it yourself and watch it in the comfort of your own home. But, you know, to me, don't expect greatness. Just entertaining is all I can say. Not great entertaining, but on a Friday night, it's worth a watch.
Good date movie, I would think. That's the way I watched it anyway. And everyone goes quiet. Wow.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I don't know if it's a good date movie.
Okay. Well, there's this thing called dates, Todd. Anyway.
Date nut bread? That kind of dates?
Yeah, that kind of date.
No, I'm familiar
with it.
Like
the thing they poisoned in the Indiana Jones movie that we're apparently not going to talk about.
Someone has never seen them.
Yeah, no one's ever seen it. It doesn't exist. It had a fake date and everything. Actually, this week, I'm not doing a movie. I'm doing another TV show because I finished it and it's long enough to count as several movies, which I think counts. This week, I didn't watch all of it this week. I've watched it over the past several weeks. And it's a foreign thing, so Lee will enjoy it. The remake of Star Blazers. Because some of us remember, I think a lot of people, their first anime experience was Star Blazers, which was made back in the 70s. They've remade it, still called Space Battleship Yamato, $21.99. I apologize for the accent. it is almost not quite a line for line remake of the original, but then again, you wouldn't really want it to be. The general plot of the show, if you haven't seen it somehow, is basically the Earth has had the crap kicked out of it by a race of beings called the Chameleons. And now everyone lives in underground cities because the surface is screwed. And unfortunately, the scientists say that even though they're underground, they've only got a year left before everything on the surface seeps in and everyone on the planet dies. Boy, that's kind of a bleak starting for a series, isn't it? But there's hope coming from another planet called Iskandar, which lives on the other side of the Great Magellanic... I can never pronounce that word. It's a big cloud on the other side of everything. And they have the technology to restore the planet. The thing is, there's no resources left on Earth to actually build a new ship. So they take an old battleship, like the kind of thing you find in an ocean, the one called the Yamato is in this case, convert it into a spaceship, and throw in some of the technology that the people from Iskandar sent with the news that, hey, we've got this thing that'll help you out, and build a spaceship out of an old battleship and send that off into space. Which, so you get this big, huge sea-going spaceship. There's sea ship in space, which looks a bit weird. You get used to it fairly quickly, though. As opposed to the original series, though. The new one is considerably more complicated, but in a good way. Because the original series, you follow the lives of maybe four or five characters on the ship. In this version, we're following around 15 or 20 characters. Did I catch all their names? No. Could I tell them apart? Yes, I could. So don't even worry about the names. It doesn't matter. I think the main difference is now there's a supernatural aspect to the program as the ship is haunted, which is a twist I wasn't expecting, but I liked it. I can't really explain more about it without giving away major plot points. It does make sense. Just go with it. But like I said, the original was done way back in the 70s, and it looked very Speed Racer in space-ish. So everyone was about 7 feet tall and really skinny and walked very stiffly. That's just how they were drawn. Not anymore, though. This is some of the most beautiful anime I've seen, and I'm including Ghibli in this. It's Ghibli quality.
Wow.
Only in Star Blazers, which is what it was called in America. You know, look for Space Battleship Yamato. It is available on Blu-ray. I don't think it's actually streaming in the States yet. Something about iTunes getting in the way. So, you know what? The subtitling, it works just fine. And I will give you this one warning, though. When you look it up, look for a Space Battleship Yamato, not, and I'd like to be making this one up, Space Battleship Tiramisu, which I always thought was some kind of a dessert thing. And it is. It's also the name of a completely separate show that... No, that's not it. It's Yamato. Just make sure you keep them separate. Yamato, like tomato or tomato. Just don't call it Space Battleship Yamato, because that would be weird.
Or tomato, that would be funny.
That would. Well, that's the bottom half of the ship where it's red. The part that's supposed to be underwater and yet isn't because it's in space. It works. It's beautiful. Check it out. And moving on to Todd. Tag, you're it.
Tag, I'm it. And I'm also reviewing a very new movie, which actually came out in March of this year and played in film festivals back in 2017. It is The Last Movie Star, and it is the last movie by Burt Reynolds. Of course, we talked about Reynolds quite a bit last week with his passing. This is a terrific movie. I really, really loved it. It is streaming on Amazon, so for those of you who have Amazon Prime, it's free. It is about, surprise, the last movie star. Reynolds plays a pretty thinly disguised version of himself, basically. One big difference is he grew up in Tennessee instead of Florida, and his college, which matters in the film somewhat, is the University of Tennessee as opposed to Florida State.
They're both orange.
But basically, yeah. Basically, he has been nominated for a prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award, and they sent him a ticket. So, oh, okay, I'll go. Why not? You know, his friend slash agent, who's played by Chevy Chase, who has basically two scenes, but he's good in it. He says, "Ah, you should go. You should go." So he goes, and his life is, despite the fact that he was a big movie star, and his movies paralleled very much Burt Reynolds' movies. His character in this is Vic Edwards. he goes to this film festival, and it's not exactly what he was expecting. I mean, basically, they put him in a Motel 6, and he was a big movie star, and this is where they're putting him. And he goes to the venue, and it turns out it's a bar that has a back room with, like, an old reel projector. So that's how they're showing these movies, but almost. It's not a reel-to-reel, but it almost looks like it. So he's a little bit underwhelmed, to say the least. He's kind of offended that, really, this is what I'm coming to. So he goes off on a little journey just to get away from it, and he wants to go to where he grew up. So he travels to Knoxville, Tennessee. Yay, because in the movie, that's where he's from. So there are a lot of scenes around Knoxville, but basically it's just a journey of him realizing, yeah, my life wasn't so bad. I had some... he faces his regrets, and he faces who he's become, and it kind of comes to terms with himself. So it's a deeper movie in a lot of ways than you'd think. And yet at the same time, and again, he was, I think, 81 when he filmed this. He still is Burt Reynolds. You still see a lot of flashes of the Burt Reynolds from The Tonight Show and things like that. One of the cool things about this movie is there are a lot of cuts of Burt Reynolds, for instance, on The Tonight Show. Cuts from different scenes from different films, like Deliverance, this scene from that is on there. So you get a lot of little clips of him. One of the really cool things is he goes back to see his first wife, the only woman he ever loved, and she's in a nursing home. And they cut back to a scene of him with this actress when he was on Gunsmoke. And it's the same actress. And it's almost kind of... it's almost mind-blowing that, happily, she's still alive, so she could be in the film. But it's like, that's attention to detail when they find an actress who was with Reynolds in a scene on a TV show from, God, 60-odd years ago. And now they get to play a scene again. A few scenes again, I should say. It's a really beautiful film about aging and... overcoming regret, I guess I would say. I also want to mention that Ariel Winter plays a big part in it. She's Alex Dunphy on the most popular TV show, Modern Family. She's terrific in it. She is the basically the flunky who has to drive him around all over the place for the weekend, and they start off with a very antagonistic relationship, and it changes as it goes on from there. Really, really like this movie. This is, appropriately, this is one of his best movies ever. So it's really nice that he closed out on such a high note. Hardly anybody saw it. And I think in a lot of cases, like when it first came out, I thought, oh, it's a documentary about him. And kind of it is. Really, really good movie. The last movie starred. Again, it's on Amazon right now for those of you who have that ability.
You think this is going to be one of those things where we get the posthumous Oscars?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so, because I don't think it's... does it deserve it? Yeah, but I don't think there's just enough of that. Not enough buzz about it, I would say. So, but yeah, he's terrific in this. Absolutely, because he's funny, he's vulnerable. I mean, he's acting, and it talks about his choices in his career as Vic Edwards. But of course, it's talking about his choices as Burt Reynolds, choices that he made. So it's really fascinating. The director said he specifically wrote it. And it couldn't have been written with anybody in mind other than Burt Reynolds, and said if Burt wouldn't do it, he wouldn't have done the film. And when you see it, it's like, yeah, it wouldn't have worked with anybody else, clearly, because it's about him. Super, super movie. Really enjoyed it.
Very cool. So something we'll be all looking for.
You can throw in that Deliverance is still, you still have to pay to watch Deliverance, but The Longest Yard is now free on Amazon.
Hey.
Which is nice.
Great Adam Sandler film.
That's an oxymoron.
One thing, though, it, obviously, because I rewatched The Longest Yard just a couple nights ago, I thought, it's, yeah, boy, that they changed that character a lot. Strikes a woman. I mean, she hit him first, but still, it's like, punches a woman. Not shoved her, punches her. Yeah, they would change this a lot if they were going to remake it and try to make a good movie as opposed to Adam Sandler. really surprising. It was like, wow, this guy's, very, very different how we did things back in the 70s. Still a great movie, but I was like, wow, I don't really remember it being quite like this.
And so things to look for. Awesome. Because everyone needs to go watch a movie. And everyone also needs to tune in on Sunday when we have more news on the Cinema Savants News Show. And then come back again next Friday when we'll have more reviews. I'll even do something that came out this century on a theater screen, even. See? It could happen. We'll see you next week. Go watch a movie. That's pretty much it.